to our lives. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that your word is true and real and mighty. God, knowing that the power of your word will not only change our lives, but it will tell us the life that is to come. We believe wholeheartedly that your Bible is prophetic, and everything that we read shall come to pass. So give us understanding, God. Holy Spirit, baptize our mind to know the truth of your word without confusion, without argument, in complete unity with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, that your word says that all these things were written that we might know that we have eternal life. And all the things that were written beforehand were written for our comfort, that we would know what to do and what to say and how to walk. Bless our lives, Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. As we looked at the beginning of the book of 2 Thessalonians last week, and we talked about the two different things that the book of 2 Thessalonians addresses, according to Pastor Chuck, it addresses the rapture of the church as well as the second coming of the Lord Jesus. Most people don't understand these things called eschatology, the study of end times, and from my perspective, I really enjoy studying end times prophecy, but anybody that's ever been a teacher of the Word of God knows the book of Revelation, which is kind of the Magna Carta, is that the right way to put it, of eschatology. It's kind of a weird book to teach because you're not there for it. Now, here at Calvary Chapel, we follow the teachings of the Bible as taught by Chuck Smith. Chuck Smith was what's called a pre-tribulation teacher. He believed in the second coming of Jesus Christ as well as the rapture of the church. And he lays out his argument, his doctrine, pretty clearly. That's what I follow. I never claim to be so smart. I like, I think it's Psalm 133 or in that area. David wrote, "I don't concern myself with things too lofty for me. I'm like a weaned child on his mother. I'm just, you know what? I'll take what is given to me. I stick to the essentials, and I leave the arguing of the non-essentials to those who prefer to argue and not to tell people that they're going to hell." You follow what I'm saying? There's a very famous saying. I heard it from Warren Wiersbe, but I think somebody else said it before him. When it comes to the essentials, we shall have unity. When it comes to the non-essentials, we shall have liberty. But in all things, we shall have charity. Which in the Old King James, charity was the word for love, the giving of what's yours to others who need it. And sometimes it's your opinion that you just, hey, you know what? Probably one of the best things in marriage you can do is just say, hey, you're right, no problem. So Paul, in addressing these things, I am going to lay out for you how they were laid out by Pastor Chuck and how I believe them. But I do encourage you to listen to Pastor Chuck's teaching. He has a phenomenal teaching, which lays it out in greater detail with a longer length of time. He covers the subject for a good 2 hours, chapter 1, 2, and 3 of the book of 2 Thessalonians, the difference between the rapture and why he believes that he's a pre-trib. You guys that don't understand eschatology, pre-trib means that the church will be raptured before the great tribulation. He's not an amillennialist who doesn't believe in the millennial reign. He is a believer that the church will not see the worst of the great tribulation. I think everybody here could agree that things are getting worse in this world, right? Well, at what point in time do these things, like, stop everything from going? It's like you put a frog in a pot of water and you put it on the stove. It heats up the water really slowly. The frog doesn't even know until it's dissolved completely. There's nothing left of it. And that seems to be what the enemy himself is doing in our very lives. You get that? You get that analogy? I get it. Chapter 2, verse 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and the gathering together to him. Now, I want you to see, even in the first line, the separation exists between these two events. Number one, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and number two, our gathering together to him. Now, some people will say, no, he's talking about the same event there. Those words only exist two other places in the Bible, and they exist very specifically as one referring to the church here on earth, and another word referring to the church as a whole all over the world. So the way Pastor Chuck taught it, and again, why I keep saying Pastor Chuck taught it, because I don't want you guys ever to think that I got like all the Bible answers, and I get up here and I stand up here. I study before I teach these things. You guys think, wow, this guy really knows a lot about the Bible. Well, I read the Bible every day. I have been for more than 20 years, but I'm not that smart. I gotta lean on other people sometimes too. I try to let the Holy Spirit lead and guide me, especially using the experiences in life that I've had, and say, hey, here's how this verse applied to my life. But when it comes to things this deep of doctrine, especially when it comes to prophecy, nobody's walking around from yesterday to today. Nobody's been reincarnated, came back. So nobody knows what's going to happen. So we have to take it in faith. And then we also have to take in faith that the way we're interpreting the Bible is the way God wants us to interpret the Bible. You follow what I'm saying? I hope this makes sense to you guys. Again, I encourage you to listen to Pastor Chuck on YouTube. Pull up just YouTube, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 2, and 3. Chuck Smith, boom, it'll come right up and you listen to it, man. He just details it out. It's a long teaching, though. Believe me when I tell you. Pastor Chuck can do some talking, more so than myself. So now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Please give me your attention. If you've not been with us, the book that we're reading was a letter, an epistle written by the Apostle Paul. He actually gives Timothy and Silvanus, which is Timothy and Silas, credit for being with him at the time. But he said, hey, listen, you guys might have thought something you missed. You didn't miss nothing. What had happened is people came to their church, this young church, and they said, hey, things are getting really bad. Did we miss something? Maybe the rapture already happened and we missed it. Maybe the second coming already happened and we missed it. And here he's trying to comfort them. He says, you know what, guys, I want you to chill. I want you to chill. You didn't miss nothing. As a matter of fact, the Lord Jesus himself said, as lightning flashes from one side of the sky to the other, so too will the coming of the Son of Man be. You're not going to miss it. We're going to refer back to Matthew 24 in a minute. Stay with me. He says that's what he was doing. He was comforting their mind. He says, man, things are getting bad. Anybody watch any news? I mean, goodness, you don't even know whether you're watching the real news or the fake news. Who's telling the truth these days out there? Can I get a little news without politics? Can I get a little news without somebody telling me who to vote for? Can I get a little news without somebody's opinion? Can I just know what's happening? And the answer is no, not anymore. Verse 3, let no one deceive you by any means. For the day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Please, again, I know we're going to stop. There's a lot of information. However, let's go to the beginning. Let's assume that some of you all here don't know anything about what I'm talking about. There is an event called the rapture of the church. Those who have confessed Jesus Christ as their Lord and have received them in their hearts, the Bible literally says you will be rapturo, pulled out of the world before things completely fall apart. Let me put it to you this way. The best illustration of this I've ever seen. Did anybody see the last Avenger movie? What was it called again? The Endgame. Where people start vapor. Is that the last one? When they vaporize at the end? Which I thought was a really good idea. But That's an argument I can have with my wife. Where half of the world disappears so that all of the resources of the earth now are like in abundant. Okay, Infinity Wars then. I just think that's a really interesting thing, that all of a sudden people start disappearing. They just literally vaporize. Where'd they go? Their cars are unmanned, their planes are unmanned, their houses are empty. Guys, where do you think they got that idea from? The Bible. People are going to be disappearing. The Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the trumpet, gone. Women, children, men disappear. There'll be lots of jobs. And what's going to happen then is what we're going to look at. When the rapture of the church, now if you've never heard of the rapture of the church, this is your introduction to it. Then there's going to be this time period in between there where this person rises up who will solve all of the problems. He's a great man. He's a good-looking man. He's an intelligent man. And he's going to rise up from the ashes of the emptying of this world of the Christians, and he's going to say, I will solve the problem. The first problem I'm going to solve is the finances of this world. And he's going to make the epicenter of the financial world Babylon. Modern day Babylon is anybody? Iraq. Iraq is modern day Babylon. And something's going to happen that the epicenter of all finances will be in the Middle East. You understand me? Then that one of the next problems he's going to solve is the Middle East peace problem. He's going to tell Israel, I've got the solution. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to build a wall in between the Dome of the Rock, going all the way eastward down, and the temple that the Jews can build will be 450 feet away on the other side of this wall. He will do what's called split Jerusalem. And everybody's going to go, oh my goodness, genius, absolute. Oh, this guy's so smart. And the Jews are going to go, great idea. And the Muslims are going to go, okay, as long as we get to keep the Dome of the Rock, our land. This man will be none other than what we call the Antichrist. Now, many Antichrists have already come. The first one was named Nimrod. There's been many since him, including Hitler. But the final Antichrist will be the Antichrist, capital A. And he will be and have the answers to all of the world's problems. And then at some point in time, this Antichrist is going to go to the temple that the Jews build 3.5 years into the treaty that he makes with them, and he's going to declare himself God. And he's demand that the whole world worship him. Right now you might be like, dude, what are you talking about? Stay with me. I'm going to give you some Bible verses. You're going to get inundated with information. You see that word in verse 3 for falling away? Some people take that word to mean apostasy. But the true translation of that word, the original Greek, means departure. So some people translated it departure from faith, but it's departure. And the way Pastor Chuck believes it to be, and the way I have adopted it to be in my heart, was before the Antichrist is revealed, before the second coming of the Lord Jesus, the departure of the saints, the rapture of the people who love God. Now, watch this, And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. If you would keep your place here, we're going to come back, turn to the left to the book of Daniel, chapter 7. I warned you there's a lot of information. We're going to have a good time. If you're a Bible geek like me, you're going to love this. If you're not, I'll wake you up when I finish. Daniel chapter 7. Now, keep in mind that Daniel was more than 500 years before the birth of Christ. Daniel wrote this way before what we just read. Daniel chapter 7. In the first year of King Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream, and the visions of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I watched till its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And suddenly another beast, a second like a bear, it was raised up on one side and had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth, and they said thus to it, arise and devour much flesh. After this I looked, and there was another like a leopard, which had on its back four wings of a bird. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth, and it was devouring and breaking in pieces and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I was considering them, before whom three of the four horns were plucked out of up by the roots there in the horn, with the eyes of man and a mouth speaking pompous words. I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery steam issued and came forth from before him, and a thousand thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were open. I watched then because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. I watched till the beast was slain, and its body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. As for the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with clouds of heaven. And he came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit within my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near to one of those who stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. Those great beasts which are four kings which arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I wished to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, with its teeth of iron and its nails of bronze, which devoured broken pieces and trampled the residue with its feet, and the 10 horns which were on its head, and the other horn which came up before which three fell, namely that horn which had eyes and a mouth which spoke pompous words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on the earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it and break it in pieces. The ten horns are ten kings who shall arise from this kingdom, and another shall arise after them. He shall be different from the first ones. He shall subdue the three kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and half a time. But the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. This is the end of the account. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly troubled me, and my countenance changed, but I kept this matter in my heart. Now, what I did was give you complete allegory and symbolism for the end of days, the same thing that I just read to you. Speaking of the times, times and a half is 3.5 years. The four kingdoms, the ten heads. The ten heads are ten kings and nations. Some people will call them the European Union. And then the one that comes out of it. Don't keep your place here. We're going to go back after the... Turn to Matthew chapter 24. That's to the right, just a handful of pages. Matthew chapter 24. Now, 500 years later or so, the Lord Jesus, who some say is that first king who came from heaven, had his wings plucked, had his literal godship taken from him, and walked the earth as a man, the true King of Kings, who was given the heart of a man even though he was fully God. He then comes, he grows to be a man, and he speaks these words. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to him, show him the buildings of the temple. And he said to them, do you see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. Please give me your attention. Here's what I see in all these things. People keep saying peace and safety. Don't worry, everything's going to be fine. Don't do nothing. Stand around. Don't create problems. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what is the sign of your coming and the end of the age? The breakdown that the Lord gives us completely here is, it's so detailed, it's so perfect in its prophetic nature, it could only be described as true prophecy. I suggest you read the whole chapter later on if these things interest you, but skip down for now to verse 15, if you would please, of Matthew 24. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house, and let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant, to those who are nursing babies in those days, and pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Turn back to 2 Thessalonians. Just have that in front of you. Let me explain to you. Right now, Paul just laid out this crazy plan. He talked about the rapture of the church. Most people right now in this day and age eat, drink, and be merry. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Let's just keep living. I gots to get mine. Know this. If the thief would have known what time his house was going to get broken into, he wouldn't have left the house unattended, would he? I apologize to you young folks that are in here. If you're under 30 years old, my apologies that we've left you this putrefied world. But you are born in the end of days. The last of the last days are here. And you must live for Christ now. You don't have forever. And we're going to see something extremely scary here, and I believe it's intentionally scary, according to the Apostle Paul. If you don't receive Christ before the rapture, you won't get another chance. The suggestion is this, that those who get saved in the end times during the Great Tribulation are those who have never heard the gospel. Those who don't know who Christ is. Those who are going to look from afar and say, what's going on over there? But those who have heard the message and said, I'll get saved later. I got time. You don't have time. This is the day of salvation. Do not harden your heart as in the day of rebellion. Watch what he goes on to say. This is scary stuff right here. You know what? Before we even do that, I want you to keep your place here. Turn with me, please, to the right, to Revelation chapter 13, the very last book of the Bible. Chapter 13 gives you the distinguishing factors to the man of sin, to the Antichrist. And why is that important? Why is that appropriate for now? Listen, guys. If you come to church one week and the place is empty, it's not because of the time change. There might be a few smatterings around of people. You missed the rapture. And I want you to be weary. I want you to know that the Antichrist will rise then. Here's just a funny thing that happens in this generation, this Generation Xer. Everything is about them. If you use the wrong word, you're a racist. If you believe the wrong thing about your country, you're a xenophobe. If you're into traditional marriage, you're a sexist. If you don't believe in killing a baby inside the womb, you're a misogynist. Let me tell you something. I knew racists, real racists. In my day, we used to call him prejudice. Oh, that dude's prejudice. Forget about him. We dismiss him. You don't want to hang out with black people? Don't hang out with black people. No. Don't. Go find your own crew, man. Go hang out with the skinheads. We don't care. Oh, you don't want to hang out with Hispanic people? Just bye, leave, go. This is what we did. We just shunned them. We didn't hate them. We didn't throw rocks at them. They were ignorant to us. We just called them ignorant. We just abused them. And then there's poor guys like Matt. Matt's half white and half black. And if he goes to the beach, he looks black. If he doesn't, he looks white. Could you imagine growing up in one place where you're too white and another place where you're too black? You know what? Matt just didn't care. I love that. You go, whatever. Nobody cares. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Nobody cares. You're here for a purpose, and you're here for a reason. And you have to decide what that purpose and that reason is. You're either here to make money or here to make disciples. That's it. And if you're here to make money, feeling sorry for yourself, ain't gonna make you no money, because nobody cares. And if you're here to make disciples, feeling sorry for yourself, ain't gonna make you no disciples. Ain't gonna make no disciples for the Lord. You hear what I'm saying? It's a strange time. But let me tell you something. When the Lord reveals the man of sin by the taking away of the church, now why is this? Now again, we're going to go back to it, but why is the rapture going to reveal the man of sin? Why doesn't the Antichrist just rise up now? Here's why, Bible geeks. The Holy Spirit is in this world right now. Anybody know where the Holy Spirit is? He's inside of us. And we have what the Bible calls the restraining power. The same power that rose Christ from the dead lives in us. And us as saints of the Most High God, we are keeping the Antichrist at bay. The love of Christ is still being poured out by the saints to the people that don't know God. And the Antichrist can't rise. But when the rapture of the church happens, the power of the Holy Spirit, although might not be disappeared from the world, it will be disappeared because the saints who have that power are gone. And then the Antichrist will rise to power. How do we know it? Chapter 13, the book of Revelation. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea. If you don't know this, this was written some 500 years, 480 some odd years before what we just read in Daniel. So these two men who lived so many hundreds of years apart are having this same weird dream. That's not what we call a coincidence. That's what we call a God-incidence. That was supposed to be some kind of laugh there. Having seven heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power. Does anybody know who the dragon is? Satan. The devil above all things is what they call a great counterfeiter. And just as the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, with all power and amazing understanding, is a Trinity, so too the devil wanted to be a Trinity. Maybe the power is in his Trinity. So you're going to see, arise out of what we read now, the dragon, who is Satan the devil, the Antichrist, and the prophet. The devil's prophet. Stay with me. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" So the way this was depicted, the way Pastor Chuck teaches, is very interesting. He says, if you happen to be here during this time, something's going to happen. This world leader is going to get shot. He's going to get wounded somehow. And they're going to declare him dead, but yet he will rise again. He will have this mortal injury yet. Now, some would think that this could be some world leader who starts out extremely altruistic, extremely benevolent, and yet because of this wound, the enemy, the Satan, the devil, is now inhabits him and now possesses him because of the weakness of his mind. Interesting. I won't be here. Where did I leave off? And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. Now, in case you don't know this, there's something called the Dome of the Rock right now. It's in Jerusalem. It's the temple of the Muslims. On the side of the temple, does anybody know what blasphemous statement is read? God has no son. And another one that it says also is, God does not begat nor was begat. All on the side of the, is it these blasphemous, directed at you, Christian, God doesn't begat nor does he beget. But as Christians, we worship the only begotten Son of God. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been found written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. And here is the patience and faith of the saints. Now, I want you to know that verse 10, that's one of my least favorite verses in the Bible. I want to rise up. I want to rise up with a sword and a shield. I want to rise up with a gun, and I want to fight against the enemy. And this reminds me so much of when the Lord put his hand on Peter and said, Peter, put your sword away. Do you not think that I can call on 10 legions of angels? You don't think I can put an end to this, but I want to fight for God. But here is the patience and faith of the saints. Wait. Our time will come. We're going to come back with the Lord on white horses, 10,000 times 10,000 warriors to fight this battle of Armageddon. But for men like myself, who should have been born in the 1700s when men carried swords and fought like men, I was born in the wrong time. Then I saw another beast come up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. This is the prophet, guys. He performs great signs, so that even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth by those signs which he granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image of the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. If you didn't just get a weird chill up your spine, you must be dead or not listening. Because that's just weird. That's just weird. Now, there's been so much prognostication about who this is, what this is, and how this is. Is it the internet? Is it a chip? Is it where? You know, what's going to happen? Nobody knows. And don't let anybody tell you they know. We don't know. Here's what we know. Here's what we know. Everything's in place. How do we know everything's in place if we don't know what it is? Well, it's really simple. There's a man named Bill Gates, and he filed a copyright so that you would get a shot, so that you don't spread some disease. It's not going to be COVID. It's going to be the next one that kills men. And if you don't get this shot, they'll know it, because inside this shot is literally a tattoo, a little tiny piece that has all your information on it. And it just so happened, by coincidence, that the number of this copyright is 666. It's insane. And if you think I'm making it up, there's a man in Hawaii named J.D. Farag. If you look up J.D. Farag, he does a prophecy update every week, and you can look up all these teachings, and he shows the literal paper, and he's kind of a weird little, I don't know what his nationality is, but he's got this weird voice. Huh? Is he Pakistani? So then he talks, he's kind of, and here's the paper that I downloaded off the internet in case you think I'm not telling the truth, and it's weird, man. And if you don't get this shot, you don't get this chip. And if you don't get this chip, I was talking to Dan about it. It's interesting. And he said, so how are they going to do away with money, though? Because people still kind of dig their money. I dig money. I actually don't dig money. I dig the stuff I get with the money. But needless to say, one day they're going to say, you know how the disease is getting spread? It's on the money. Everybody touches the money. We got to do away with money. That's another thing that that was illustrated so well in, what was the name of that movie, Guardians of the Galaxy? How everything was measured in units. Oh, hell, I'll transfer you 20 units. Here's your unit. And what an interesting idea. Why is it these people all know the works of Satan? Why does Hollywood always know the works of Satan? He said with tongue in cheek. So now you know what the Antichrist is, and you're now spooky. So now let's go back, finish our study in 2 Thessalonians, verse 5. You know what? Read verse 4 again so you understand. Let's go to verse 3. So let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come. What day? The day of the Lord. Unless the falling away, the departure, comes first, and then the man of sin, the Antichrist, from Revelation 13, is revealed, the son of perdition. The word perdition means ruined, waste, or damnable. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. Ready? So that, the what did the Lord call it? What did the Lord just call it in chapter 24? The desolation? The abomination of desolations, right? What is the abomination of desolation? In 174 BC, a man named Antiochus Epiphanes, he changed his name because you know the word, hey, I had an epiphany? He took that to mean that he's God. He is the thought of God. Many men who were antichrists have come and called themselves God. Antiochus Epiphanes, calling himself God, went into the temple and set up an idol to Zeus. In 174, it was the Temple of Solomon, and he erected a worship idol to Zeus, his God. And then he went into the temple and called himself God and sacrificed a pig on the altar, a pig which is a dirty animal to the Jew. I don't know how they do that, but bacon is just too good. So that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And ready? Here's what we talked about before. And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Now that word for he there is commonly known as the Holy Spirit. So what's restraining the Antichrist from coming? Where is the Holy Spirit? Why can he not yet appear? Because we're still here on the earth awaiting our rapture. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Verse 8. Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Before we read verse 9, verse 8 is so important. Guys, just a few months ago, it was about a year ago, we were teaching through the book of Revelation. And I want you to know, it was really the hardest book I've ever had to teach. It's the hardest book I've ever studied, because I'm trying to tell everybody stuff that doesn't apply to them. And I could tell you all, right now I'm telling you all about these weird things and the beast and the Antichrist. It's all spooky and weird, but it's like, don't forget something. You're not gonna be here, number one. Number two, this isn't like Hollywood. I grew up in the era of the 70s and 80s. It was The Exorcist and The Omen. Ah, Rosemary's Baby. Ah. And here's what it looks like. And here's God. And here's the devil. And oh, the devil's winning. And then there's God. It's not like that. You know how the devil gets vanquished? God goes like this. Why all this tribulation then? It's my plan. You make your own world. You can decide how it goes down. How are you going to defeat the enemy? That's it? That's it. So you stay on God's team. You know what you got to worry about? Nada. Nothing.
9, zip.
Portuguese?
Nada.
Nada. That was easy. Verse 9, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Watch that again, and this is what I was talking about, why if you don't accept Christ now, you won't get another chance, especially you that might be here. Now, I don't know about the pygmy in the middle of the woods in New Guinea. I don't know. This is not inessential. This might not even be right and accurate. This is the way Chuck Smith teaches, also with a comma and a question mark. It does make more sense. There was a very famous man named Oswald Chambers. He wrote many great books. He said this, I don't believe that anybody should hear the gospel twice until at least everybody's heard it once. And of course, that's not always the case, especially in America, which was founded on the biblical principles. But you kind of understand, yeah, that's kind of, why? Well, thank God it didn't happen that way. Otherwise, I certainly wouldn't have got saved because I had to hear it more than once. I had to let my life grind down to the gears were all jammed up, right? But you see the principle there. Again, read it now with that thought in mind. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Strong delusion. There's a very famous guy right now on the internet. His name is Jordan Peterson. I highly recommend. I audit some of his college classes, his courses. I listen to a lot of his teachings. And he says this, there's this one rap that he does, this one lecture he does about socialism. And he's at this school, and they're asking him questions about socialism, and he asks him, why isn't socialism the compassionate thing where you give people who don't have? You know, in this world, there's the haves and the have-nots, and why shouldn't the haves give something to the have-nots? And he said simply for one reason, that there's 300 million lives that testify from the grave that socialism doesn't work. And that stopped, that same silence, that's exactly what happened. Do you know what socialism and communism have done every time it's tried to be enacted in this world? It always leads to tyranny. You cannot tell people that they need, here's $10, this should be enough. No, I want $20. No, you only get $10 for today. Well, you have $300. Isn't it amazing how all the rich Hollywood elites and rich politicians want to tell us that they believe that we should get doled out what they want us to have? Meanwhile, after they already have it? And they said, well, the Lord Jesus was a socialist. He was not. It was a voluntary giving that the Lord spoke of, not involuntary. So, what are these guys? Robert De Niro, Jack Black. You name all the rich movie stars right now who are touting the socialist line. You know what? I say we start with you. And let me tell you, I have a very good business friend in Nicaragua. Nicaragua is basically a socialist country. But it wasn't about 20 years ago. And this man came from a wealthy area. And one day, the socialist government took over. And you know what they did a month later? Seized his bank accounts and took his land. Did you hear what I just said? They seized his bank accounts and took his land because now the government's socialist. So if you vote for the socialist side of our government, don't complain when you can't go get a hamburger when you want one, or when you can't go to the doctor when you want to. Because if you think socialized medicine works, talk to somebody from Canada. They got to wait months and months to sometimes get into a specialist, right? 3 years. They all come here. Now, does that mean that the answer to the world's problems, listen, this is so important. Does that mean the answer to the world's problems is capitalism? No. Listen to me. Whatever the question is, the government is never the answer. Please understand that. The government is never the answer. How are we going to solve the problem of internet censorship? How are we going to solve the problem of socialists? How are we going to, whatever it is, it ain't the government. Anybody try to put a stamp on an envelope and have it get there on time? You're better off going to the yard and rolling your dice. The government is never the answer to the problem. Now, let's get spiritual for a second. What's the answer?
Jesus Christ.
Hello. Thank you. Here's where we finish. Strong delusion. So what's that word for strong delusion in verse 11? That's when you actually believe that the government's the answer. Where do you get that from? It's never, ever worked. It'll work this time because Bernie has the answers. Bernie? The millionaire? The guy with three houses? Do you ever sit back and wonder, how are these people so stupid? And yet they're so educated. You see those two words there? Strong delusion. It's a spiritual darkness. Don't ever forget that. Arguing with these people is fruitless. Hey, I love the guts that my brother Tony has. He's sitting there wearing a Trump hat, but you won't see me wearing one. No way. I don't need that problem in my life. What I fill out when I'm in that booth by myself, that's between me and God. I don't need to be getting into no hassle with somebody. I have to shoot somebody because they, nope. I see what's going on here in the news, nope. You could keep your strong delusion, I'll keep my freedom. Amen on that one? Continuing and finishing. And I love the way he finishes this chapter, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by our epistle. May the Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us an everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Now, before I say amen, just again, look what he says there. Therefore, so when you see therefore, what's that funny thing that we always say? When you see that word therefore, you got to ask yourself, what's that therefore? He's summing up everything that he just taught that I just shared with you. Therefore, brethren, you know what you do? Keep going to church. Keep reading your Bible. Keep spending time in prayer. Keep worshiping. These are the traditions that we were taught. This is what we're going to keep doing until the end comes. We're not going to be chasing the Antichrist around. We're not going to say there's a devil under every rock. We're just going to keep on keeping on, sharing the love of Christ. Let's be there tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Tonight at 6 o'clock at the beach, worship and pray for people. Come back here Wednesday. We're going to pray for the Lord. That's what we're going to keep on keeping on. We're going to hide that information of the rapture and the second come. We'll keep that in our brain. Maybe we'll even sharpen each other about it. Hey, I don't believe in this. You believe in that. Great. Sounds great. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be right back here on Wednesday. Keeping on, because it's the only thing that cuts through the lies of the enemy. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word and for the power of the mystery of the end times, God. Lord, may we with open minds, open hearts, pull those that are on fire with the fire of hell out of the ovens of hell and give them the love of God and the power of the Holy Spirit the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ going forth. Love you, Lord Jesus, and thank you for your word. And God, may the information that was given today settle in our minds, God. And anything that was not of you, God, I ask you to take out your big Holy Spirit eraser and wash it away now. Everything that was of you, God, may it well in us up, may well up in us to only love more, to only love more, God. We love you and thank you and pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, amen. Amen.